Blog Talk Radio.
Gather round. Witness the memoirs of 5'9 being read as he sees it fit. Police sirens behind him while he's driving instantly causes butterflies in his stomach, even though he's legit.
Now, brothers and sisters, they have not stopped. It's about to hit the fan. What is it? Getting deep in here. I mean,
greetings and welcome to this episode of Positive Male Response on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Evelyn McAllister. I am also a member of A to Zayn, the nonprofit organization. Deldora Wall is our director, founder, and everything. So I am going to be talking about how men can impact our young males to be positive. We always say that this generation needs help, nobody wants to really be bothered, but I'm going to put people on the spot. It's time that we all give back. It takes a whole village. I'm going to go to the phones and see who our callers are. Caller, you are on the air. Please identify yourself.
Hello, this is Ernest Terry. How you doing, Evelyn?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for calling in, Ernest. Ernest Perry is one of our guest speakers today on the topic. Give me one moment. I'm going to go to the other caller. Hello, caller. You are on the air. Please identify yourself.
Yes, this is Delzora. I am, as you stated to the audience, the president of Justice from A to Zayas, and I'm here to engage in such an awesome topic of how can men impact young males to be positive.
Thank you very much for calling in. Ernest, can you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your history?
Okay. My name is Ernest. I am the father of three boys. One is 21, one is 18, and one is 15. I'm married to Sharonda. We've been married a little over 22 years. We own the first and only African-American-owned bar in the city of Kennesaw called Fire Night Sports Bar Lounge. And we also have an organization called FINO, which is Failure is Not an Option, which we set up programs to do things as mentoring programs and to give back to the community. We've been doing that now for over 10 years, and it's the apple of our eye. So it's definitely a pleasure to be on the phone with you guys.
I appreciate you taking the time to call in and be my guest speaker on the subject. I do consider Ernest to be somewhat of an expert in this area. As he said, he has raised three amazing sons. To know those boys is to love them. Ernest, my first question to you is, what made you start mentoring and getting involved in these?
Okay, so the major thing for me, this is not something that just started for me. I grew up with my father, and my father was a force in the community, and as well as my grandfather was also a force in the community. So it's only right that, you know, that's something that I was taught. And so I definitely had to carry on that tradition and make sure my boys are aware that, you know, being a part of the community, sowing a certain seed, giving back will give you a fulfilled life. And so it's just always been important to me.
Okay. And how do we get those men, what would be your suggestion on how we could get those men who may not have had that type of foundation or upbringing, get them to understand how important it is for them to sow seeds in these young boys?
So that's a great question. So one of the things I think is just programs like your, like what you have now, just bringing exposure out there, bringing the word out there to these other men so they become aware of it. You know, a lot of things we do in life, we don't do until we become aware of it. So I've found that when I stepped up and started doing things in the community and I told other guys about it, then they were like, oh, man, I always wanted to do something, but I haven't stepped up to do it, and they would partner with the program. So it's just about spreading that word, and, you know, it's like one of those things, reach one, teach one. It's a lot of good men out here, and they really want to do positive things in the community, and they may not know the direction they need to go. So we just got to push those programs out there and just make them aware of it.
Okay. And I know that with your boys, I'm sure you have had, you know, some occasions to where you may have had to instill discipline. What was the determining factor for you as far as how to keep them on track with what you had in mind for your son?
So, you know, when it was younger, when they were younger, I think it was just a matter of just being consistent. I think as a parent, you have to be consistent, whether it's the discipline side or whether it's the reward side. I think you have to set standards. The higher standards you set for your children or these young men or young women, I think they will reach those. But those standards have to be set. And, you know, it's something that you have to do over and over again. It's not a, you know, one-time fixes it all. It's just about that consistency. As they've gotten older, I found that it's important to communicate with them and to hear them out. And, you know, I think especially in the black community at times, we were brought up to, you do as I say, and that's the end of it, you know. But that doesn't prepare them for the real world. You know, we have to listen to them and respect their opinion. And just like anybody else, if you give someone respect, they will respect you. So, you know, that's where I'm at now with my boys. You know, the relationship is constantly growing, you know, and it's something that, you know, you definitely have to put effort in. And, you know, sometimes you may not feel like it. You may have a million other things going on in your life. But, you know, being that positive flow and being consistency is the major thing.
Okay. And with all the recent issues that young black men have had to deal with law enforcement and things of that nature, have you felt the need to have a conversation with your son on how to react if they find themselves in that kind of situation?
Yes, I have. That's conversations we've been having for a very, very long time. You know, we sit at the dinner table and we talk about if you get stopped by the police, what do you do? Well, you know, of course, the first thing they do is they call us immediately and put us on speakerphone. But then also, you know, when it comes to the law, you have to understand you do have to respect or show a certain respect to the law. And what I've always told my boys, if it's somebody in law enforcement that disrespects you, your life is not worth that. We can go after them later. I want you to be very, very respectful and do everything that you can to not, you know, provoke a situation to get out of control. But the main thing is to respect authority, to be polite. And, you know, I push them very hard not to hang in large groups and not to hang out late, things of that sort, you know. The normal things that you would do when you're young and experiencing life,
right.
But it's just looked at totally different when you're a young black male and you may be another race, you know. You're a young black male, you may be considered a thug if you're out walking the streets with your friends, four or five friends at 11 o'clock at night, whereas we'll see four or five of someone else out maybe skateboarding or walking their friends, and they're just out hanging out being young. So, you know, it's a double standard in this world, and anybody that, you know, doesn't agree with that, I don't think they're looking at it from a true perspective.
Okay, and I'm glad you brought that point up because I myself, as a parent, I don't have sons, but I do have a daughter, and it's been extremely important, especially as she just turned 18, extremely important for me to have that same conversation with her, with how society looks at young African-American boys and girls as well, and having to prepare her to deal with people, you know, out. Because up until this point, she's not necessarily been sheltered, but not been exposed to a lot that
right.
some of our other young people have been exposed to. And in trying to prepare her for those situations where she may be out with her friends. And as you said, for girls or young women hanging out with some of your friends at 10, 11 o'clock walking, it doesn't look good to some people. And I've had to explain it to her. She's Well, why can't we just walk from wherever we're going to the bus stop or can, you know, to the end of the parking lot? It just does not look good, and I've had to explain that to her and prepare her for that. I know that, you know, now that she's 18, you know, she's all of a sudden, oh, I'm 18 now. I can do this, that, and the other, and try to find the best environment for her to do that. Now that her and her friends are 18, you know, they brought up a couple of weeks ago that they want to go to 18 and up club. And I'm so past clubs, and I know different things that happen in certain parts of town. Some of those clubs are a little shady. So I know I had spoken to you about maybe bringing her up there because I felt that that's a comfortable environment where, you know, that crowd is actually monitored, looked on, and certain things can't go on in your establishment. But more so how with a lot of our young boys and girls, that man aspect is missing. So a lot of our youth have not grown up with a father figure in their home. And the reason why I chose this, yes, ma'am.
Oh, excuse me. I just wanted to comment before you go any further. There were a lot of things that were said, and I just want to comment on especially the last comment you made, like with your daughter. You know, a lot of times as parents, we try to shelter our kids from a lot of things. However, they are exposed because if they go to school, whether it's public or private, I went to private school some part of my life, and I got more of the real world, the bad side. I learned more about that in the private sector rather than the public sector. So a lot of times parents thinking, you know, I'm going to put my children in this particular, quote-unquote, Ivy League type of environment that will shed them from all of the things that are going on in life that, quote-unquote, comes from the hood type environment, which is definitely not true. I also, my son, my youngest son was also he attended private school, one of the number one private schools in the state of Louisiana. And my son told his friends that's where he began to understand, that's where he learned about drugs and cocaine, and it's just on a higher level. But it's the level that is at the top. It's the level that puts everything on the street, on the market. And so a lot of times when we try to shed our children from this, sometimes we're making a mistake. Not that you should allow them just to be out there flamboyantly doing whatever, but we need to educate our kids on both sides of the world, on both sides of the street, on both sides of the track, what's going on in the hood and what's going on in the upper supposedly echelon. Because even though that side appeared to be walking the straight and narrow, that is just an illusion that they put out there for us to think, because they are using their money and their power, and that's what pushes things on the street. So we have to really be careful about that, and we have to know, we also have to teach and our children so that when they do encounter things that we are trying to shed them from, they will know how to handle them. Point in case, I have an uncle who raised his children, isolating them from the things of this world, I mean of the streets, I mean television, music, not, you know, they just went to church and they had to be with them at all times. Well, unfortunately, when they left the nest, they weren't prepared for what the nest, and they were college students when this hit them, and they were students at top-notch colleges, and they began to meet people who then taught them things that should have been taught appropriately at home so that they would have known how to prepare them. And so I like your topic, how can men impact young males, because the organization, A to Z, we are about men. The young man was talking about, you know, teaching his son how to respect the authority and all of this. So very true. I did that with all three of my children. Unfortunately, the authority that my oldest son stood for is the same authority that murdered him blatantly in the streets. So not saying that we don't teach them. We do. And this particular son, they couldn't have ever told me that he would ever have a problem with law enforcement. His father, 23 years on the force. His mother worked in law enforcement. And he was a military police. He respected authority. He stood by laws. He loved the law to the point he wanted to become a lawyer. And and he worked in the he was a sheriff. He worked in the sheriff's department, so he stood mm-hmm. for the law. He was the one in college when his friends, when the police would come, would tell them, "Be quiet, sit down, say yes, sir, you know, yes, ma'am." But those were the people who murdered him. So we also want to tell our children that sometimes, even though you obey and you respect them, as the gentleman stated, does not mean they're going to always give you that same thing. However,
right.
still stand for who you're supposed to be, and that's what we need to do impacting these young males, is telling them that no matter how the other person acts, you still be the person that at the end of the day, live or if you pass away, people remember you as that young man who obeyed the laws, who followed the laws as best he could, who was respectful, who had integrity.
Right.
We want to make sure that our men, and it sounds like this gentleman, Ernest, is a fine man to do this in the streets, that we're impacting our young males. And the reason why I started this program, the Positive Male Response, is because the word is, you know, that all the women, the single mothers, are teaching their children how, their boys, how to be men. We cannot do that. I beg to differ. I had two sons.
Absolutely.
At one point I was divorced and I was a single mom. But I made sure that there were men, good men of standard, who would impact my son's lives. Coaches, church, neighbors, no matter what. And so it is important to have an Ernest and other men to rise up and make sure that we're standing by these young men, that we're impacting them with good principles and morals, and that we're leading them because they need it. They have to have
right.
it in order to survive, especially in this time and day in society. So I congratulate you, Ernest, for what you're doing. But I also want us to remember that as one man does, we got to make sure that we're pushing for more and more men, not isolating the ladies. Of course, we do our job and we got to raise up too. But men were created to lead. I believe that to the fullest. They were created to be leaders, and we are to be walking with them. But there's a certain standard that a man and a certain thing that a man has that once he grabbed hold to a young man and he put that in him and he dwelled that in him, that it allowed that young man to raise up. It really does.
I totally agree. I completely agree. I think that, you know, a lot of these young single mothers don't realize the importance of having a man with character, integrity in their children's lives. Even for little girls, they need that as well. I personally, as you, believe that I can raise a boy, but I can't teach him to be a man. A man has to teach him to be a man.
Exactly.
Because I don't know how to be a man, you know. So people like, or men like Ernest and some of the other people that's affiliated with him need to teach some of these young boys how to be men. I read an article a little while back. Steve Harvey was in the airport and had went to one of the fast food places in the airport. And a young boy, you know, he was sagging, had his shirt out, and the young boy asked him how he got into radio, and Steve kind of told him, you need to pull them pants up, put a belt on, and tuck that shirt in. You have to look a certain way. And you know, this boy, he's probably maybe 15, 16, told Steve no one had ever told him that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No one had ever told him that he needed to do that.
I've met so many young men that, you know, they don't understand, you know, hanging the pants low. And to be honest with you, I was one of these young men at one point in my life trying to hang with the crowd when I was younger. But when somebody told me where it came from, what it meant, it made a big difference to me. And so I think that's a thing that we as men, we do have to take the responsibility. We have been letting down a lot of women as a whole. And we've seen this over the years. But we do. We have to let the boys know first impressions are everything. And there's a time and place. There's a time and place to have gym shorts on, but there's a time and place to have your pants pulled up and a shirt on and know how to tie a tie.
And
honestly,
yeah.
successful in this world, you're going to have to know how to look the part. You know, it's very, very important.
And you know what, Ernest, to go along with that, and Evelyn, I think a lot of times that people are attacking the young boys instead of really developing relationships with them. Because what is happening, and the reason why these boys are still, so many of them are still having their pants hanging down, is because it's how we're approaching them. We're attacking them. Because here's the thing. If I don't get you to change your mindset, pulling up your pants really not going to do anything for you. Because if you put on a suit, but you go to an interview with a bad attitude and nobody can't tell you nothing because I don't ground, you're still not getting a job, okay? You can have on the best suit Steve Harvey or Tyler Perry can buy you, their money can buy. But if you have a bad attitude, that gets you nowhere. So I think sometimes we need to approach and try to get into the mind of these young people in the heart. And when we befriend people, then guess what? They're going to look at Ernest. The young man going to look at Ernest because Ernest said he was once like that. But guess what? He changed. So when Ernest developed a relationship with the young man and then he starts seeing how Ernest is coming around and his appearance, he's going to start wanting to look better. And then Ernest has that leeway to say, you know what? Here's the thing. You go into this interview, I want to help you out, bro. I want to help you out. And the young man can receive that better. But so many times, and the same thing happens with young women. Women attacking. We can't attack. We really got to get to the heart and the mind of the person. Because believe it or not, if their mindset has changed, they're going to change their own outfit. Believe that.
They will. They will. You know, you have to find a way to. Go ahead.
Let me get one more caller. Caller, thank you for joining the show. Can you please identify yourself?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you for joining. Can you please identify yourself?
Yes, be glad to. Hey, this is Pastor Sonny from the Lifehouse. How are you guys doing?
We are doing wonderful. Thank you for calling me, Pastor Sonny. Another one of my guest speakers. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Ooh, what do? I work with inner city youth. I've been doing this for the better part of the last, 21 years now. I've been trying to keep kids from making horrible decisions and to get them to make better decisions so that God can do what he's going to do in their lives.
Great. I met Pastor Sonny through a friend. I went to service. And then came to realize that he's a youth counselor at my daughter's high school, and there's a program called Young Life, and he interacts with some of the youth there that most people would probably assume are, you know, that people should wash their hands of. He works with those boys and girls to try to kind of turn their lives around and give them something else to go for. One of the topics we've been discussing, Pastor Sonny, is how men can impact males to be positive and how we can get more men involved with kind of working with some of these boys and girls who may not have that father figure in their lives.
Right. I think one of the biggest challenges we face right now is for our young people to have a template to follow. So it's mission critical, and it's important that they have somebody to gaze and to look upon and say, hey, you know, I want to be like him when I grow up. Part of the challenge we face is growing up, most of us are in single-parent homes. I think I'm a third-generational single-parent person. My mom and my father weren't together, and so on and so forth. So I didn't really have a template. So when I became married, when I started having my kids and trying to figure out how to be a father, I didn't have the role models and templates in place. And I recognized very swiftly that I was fishing in the dark. So I had to try to find a strategy. I think the biggest thing that our children are missing right now is a strategy. So as men, we have to step up to the plate, and we can't just do it with our own babies. Because the true gist of the nature and situation is that there are not enough fathers out there who are stepping up to the bat. And they'll tell you, I'm a father to all of the children. I mean, at the school, every kid up there knows me. They gravitate towards me. My daughter, who's 16, I swear, some days I have five, six girls at the house. They all love being around us, and I play the father role for more children than just my own, and I've done it for generation to generation because I recognize the importance of having a template or something to follow, and that's what I feel like we're missing a lot of times. I know women do the best job they can, and single moms do an amazing job of tackling the obstacles and the hurdles in front of them, which is parenting from a solo position. But our babies, especially our young males, they need a male role model to show them what to wear, to show them how to carry themselves, to show them how to treat their potential future wife.
I agree. We grew up, my mom and my dad, they split up when we were probably 12. And after that, it was a free-for-all. So, again, the importance of having that male role model for, as you said, a template for kids to follow. Ernest, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of wrap up your position on the topic, and Pastor Sonny, you as well.
Okay, I just I just want to encourage all the men that's actually listening to reach out to the community, reach out to these young guys, because we all were young at some point and we've all made mistakes. We're still making mistakes, and try to find a way to identify with a youngster, and then build from that point there. You know, the main thing is just to expose them to positive things, provide a positive frame of mind, and just be there for those kids, and you will change their life, because what's going to happen is when they get older, they're going to impact someone else's life, and it's just going to keep going and going and keep going. So exposure is the key. Find programs. I tell God, I say, start with just one time a year where you do something. And then before you know it, it's twice a year. And then before you know it, it's every month. And then before you know it, it's every week that you're involved in something. And just expose these kids to something else besides entertainment and sports. Let them know that there's other ways to be successful in this world.
Exactly. Very good.
Great. I appreciate that. Pastor Sonny?
In the words of the famous Outkast, you got to get up, get out, and get something. We have to challenge ourselves as men to go after these babies, because we're losing our kids, and they're dying at an alarming rate. And there's so many vices out there looking to take over their lives that we have to step up to the challenge, and whether it be through a Big Brother and youngsters to get them to make better decisions. And all want someone to love them consistently. And we have to meet that challenge.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I completely agree. I appreciate, Ernest, you giving your time and calling in today to have your brain picked. You as well, Pastor Sonny, I appreciate you taking the time to call in and support Positive Male Response. I'm going to turn it back over to our founder. Do you have any closing words that you wanted to say?
Thank you, Edward. First, I want to thank you for taking the opportunity to do this show, and this is a requirement for every member in the organization, because this platform is most important. We are taking on and continuing the legacy of my son, who was unjustly murdered, and his thing was to impact young boys, to teach them about education, and just like Ernest said, to help them to get educated, not just by going to school, but also educating themselves. But he also wanted them to know that just playing ball, being a rapper, was not all that they were created to be. And so I want to thank the pastor and Ernest for joining the show, and ask that you all will join us anytime by listening to the Positive Male Response. A to Z host this show every Saturday, unless it's a major holiday. But we host this show every Saturday, and we're going to continue this, as well as we're going to have a once-a-year event for young men to teach them about being positive. So you guys keep looking, keep listening, and keep supporting. Thank you all so much. And Evelyn, once again, thank you. Thank you, listeners, and continue to support A to Z's Positive Male Response. Have a good evening.
Thank you, guys. Have a great evening.
God bless you, guys. God bless you. Thank you again for having us on.
Thank you.